Please join me in welcoming our main speaker, Danny D. from Long Beach.
Hey everybody, I'm Danny. I'm an alcoholic.
Danny.
Nice to be here. Got a little speeding ticket on the way. I'm going to make sure I'll send that to your treasurer. I told him I was on the way here. He couldn't have looked like he didn't care any more than he did. And I was doing 87 in a 65. But because of my perfect driving record, he knocked it down to 75 miles an hour. So I guess that's something. But, you know. Anyway, here I am. Lee, thanks for having me here. I see we got the box of tissues and hand sanitizer, as I asked. And I asked for this. That's good. I'm kidding. All right. So first of all, lower your expectations. All right, you'll do a lot better. Travis, thanks for the nice 10-minute talk. I see you broke the ice by using profanity and talking about crystal meth from the podium, so I guess it's all on. All right? You know, it's just so funny to me how some people stand at the podium and call drugs outside issues when Bill waited to page 7 to take a sedative, you know? Come on. I mean, really? Really? I like when these crusty, but if you're new, can I see the hands of people in their first year, please? You are who I came to talk to. Thank you for being here. Thank you. 3.5 hours on a one-way trip. That's all right. I drove 8 hours once for fake Vicodin. That's, you know. But if you're new and you're looking for a sponsor, first of all, stay away from the miserable people. They're doing it wrong. They're doing it wrong. Now, some of you may have experienced this. Mike, you might be talking about tweaking. Where's the tweakers at? You here tonight? There you are. Tweakers. Fixing things that ain't broken. Right? If you're new and you're a tweaker, these two little mics right here, probably really, you don't like those right there. You know what I mean? First of all, before I forget, I'd like to say to my girl, Shishi, and Woini, okay? She speaks absolutely no English, and she's using a translator, and hopefully it doesn't work that well. You know, perhaps maybe you've been in a meeting and you've been talking about, you know, nodding out on some black tar heroin or Klonopin or something, and some crusty old dude came up to you and told you, you know, there's another meeting for you. No. No, there's not. I invite you to invite him to page 410 of this book, where Dr. Paul shoots Demerol. Right? I don't know what God's will is for me. I sure don't know what it is for you. I do know that I am responsible when anyone reaches their hand out. Anyone to me is everyone, right? I mean, I can only imagine what your story must be like to come in here through these doors, you know? And aren't we so lucky to be here? Now, if you're new and you have a problem with God, you're probably not digging this room very much. But just let me assure you that what's going on in here tonight has nothing to do with what goes on in here on Sundays. Can I get an amen?
Amen!
I do that to scare people. I remember, man, when I was new, I wouldn't even walk into a meeting if it was in a church, you know? Now, hey, man. I'm cool with it. I don't believe in any kind of man-made God. I believe that God is the ability to be kind and gentle and loving. I believe God is love, the thread that floats through all of us here. And if you're new, if I may be so bold as to speak for the group tonight and say that all we want from you is to be okay. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Right? That's all we want. Remember when I was new, I'd hear people go, I'm John, and I'm a grateful alcoholic. And I'd think, you know, let's find John's car. Let's break the windshield and set it on fire. And then let's see how grateful John is then. And you know, you'd hear stuff like, if no one told you they love you today, I love you. You know, I totally get it now. I had no idea that I was a gentle, kind, loving man. You know, my first tool for living was out. I went out. Out of the car, out of the window, out of the relationship, away from you. When I was a kid, we owned a Rambler Ambassador station wagon, and the back seat faced that way. Perfect! Perfect! You guys remember the movie Barfly? Mickey Rourke, Faye Dunaway? There's a scene in it where she says, don't you hate people? And he says, no, but I seem to feel better when they're not around. Right! I am a people pleaser that doesn't like people. I need you to love me, but stay away. And then screw you for not talking to me. You know what I mean? Putting this thing out. You know when you go to a meeting and you see those new guys, the first thing you meet is their neck. You know, you know what that means? I really like a hug. I want a hug, Holmes. I was a tough guy, man. You know, we had a leather belt in my house, you know, and if you put your hand back there to block the belt, it became the belt buckle. Only in AA do people laugh at a child being beat with a belt. If this was like the Kiwanis Club or Lions Club, you'd be like, oh my, not here. Hardy har har. And on page 132 of our book, it says that we think that laughter and cheerfulness are useful. Because if you didn't see us having fun, why would you stay? You know, you walk in and you think, really? AA on a Saturday night, huh? It's come to this. A level of lame I didn't know existed. Right? I mean, this is a little better than being on carpet patrol, yeah, Travis? How many people in here have been on carpet patrol? May I see the hands? Well, Lee's wife, like that. Who in here doesn't know what carpet patrol is? Lee, you don't? Really? Lee, you've been up for 5 days. You're naked. And you probably have some kind of lubricant all over your body. Am I getting it right so far? You got a pipe in one hand, and you got a lighter in the other, and you're crawling. And you're looking for, hopefully, little pieces of speed or heroin or coke. But that's not in there, man. No, no, no. You're going to find breadcrumbs, pieces of drywall, toenails. You know you've smoked some toenails. And anything you find, where's it going? Where? Am I making this up? And you're going to smoke it. And some people are sitting here thinking, well, I never did that. Because you got the beast. If you're new, you got this beast sitting there thinking, well, how different you are from us. So that your disease can hold on and protect and defend your right to get loaded. Because I have never been that bad. I would never do that. We all have our forms of carpet patrol. Every one of us in here have said, by the way, if you're new and you're sitting here, we clean up real nice. I mean, would you ever think standing next to Lee's wife in a supermarket that she had been crawling across the carpet smoking little specks and stuff? No. But here we are. And it ain't about up or down. It's not about you like Gilby's gin, you like black tar heroin. It's about how do I get out of right here, right now? Because right here, right now, I'm terrified. I'm nothing. I'm never going to be nothing. Why should I try? Of course she left. Of course my band kicked me out. Of course the apartment building wants me out. I'm a miserable piece of shit who doesn't deserve a seat in this room. Why should I try? But only I get to say that. You don't get to say that. So I did a lot of things that I thought I would never, ever do. I never thought that I would drive with my daughter in the back seat of my car. annihilated? What, just for the hands of, for, let's put some hands up for people that are new here. You know, I used to think when they go, I've identified myself as an alcoholic. Are there any other alcoholics present? I would think, stupid question. Why would you ask me that? And I get it. It's for people that have never had the courage or been able to say that too. And when they see all these hands, then they go, well, me too. That's what this thing's about. So can I see the hands of the people that have driven a vehicle drunk with their child in the car? Me too. You know, when I held that little baby when she was brand new, I never thought, oh man, one day I will drink Southern Comfort and I will take Klonopin and I will drive very quickly with you in the back. No, but that's what happened. Carpet patrol. Another form of it, you know? So, my next tool for living was I learned if you hit somebody in the face hard enough, they'd leave you alone. So those are the tools I had for the first 12 years of my life. Out and fight. And when I was 12 years old, somebody handed me a bottle of Boone's Farm strawberry wine. Right? No grapes in the bottle, right? I don't know if you ever had it. You could pour that in a lawnmower and it'll run. Right? Boone's Farm. And, you know, it's like, when I drank that, man, I remember it happened, like this book talked about. Did you know there are some, are there any normies? Is there anybody from Al-Anon here tonight? Where are you? Anybody here? Welcome. Are you a double winner or Al-Anon only? Al-Anon only. Did you know that he cannot finish a drink if he wants to? Am I right? He can walk away from a perfectly good drink. He thinks that a cigarette butt floating in a drink is non-drinkable. Ridiculous! That's an olive, right? And what separates me and what makes me different from him is that when I take a drink, it changes my perception of reality. Now, that mean father I have and feeling less than and inadequate and never going to be enough and not funny and stupid and ugly, now I take a drink, and I'm handsome, and I'm tall, and I'm funny, and I fit in my earth suit for the first time. Right? And it was like, remember that first time when you went, oh, God, yeah. Oof. Then I started throwing up. And I remember throwing up, man, thinking, man, if I don't die, I'm doing this tomorrow, man. I have a solution. I have a solution to fitting into my earth suit, right? And I liked all kinds of, you know, in the first chapter of this book, it's called The Doctor's Opinion. And if you're new, if you haven't read it, in the 30s, the treatment for alcoholism in the 30s, they didn't have miracles in a mansion on a cliff by the sea. You know, anybody been in any really fancy treatment centers here, right? No one here? No one. Yeah. You know, where they come by every 20 minutes going, are you feeling a little anxious? Are you feeling anxious? No. In the 30s, they had chain you to a bed. That's what they had. And this doctor named Dr. Silkworth was the first one to come out and say, listen, these aren't bad people. And people didn't want to hear that. These people have a disease. It's an allergy. And in that chapter, it talks about that we feel as alcoholics, we should abstain from alcohol in all its forms. And the way I look at that is, I need to stay away from drinkable alcohol, smokable alcohol, injectable alcohol, snortable alcohol, and pill form alcohol. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Besides, kind of weak over there. Can I get an amen? You should hear, when I do that in Alabama, they lose their mind. Yeah, alcohol in all its forms. Anything mood altering. If alcohol isn't a drug, what is it? Of course it is. When people say, I'm an alcoholic and an addict. I am a carrot and a vegetable. It's the same. We're the same. We're the same. You're here. Let's see what we have in common. We're all here. We all think I'm fantastic. Humility, I know, it's what makes me so fantastic. It's my humility. Of course I'm kidding. We're all here wanting to be better. Wanting to be better people. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous goes so far past not drinking and using. That's not what this is about. It's a removal process. Alcohol didn't teach me how to be spiritual. I came into the world. If you've ever held a baby in your hand, you know that's a beautiful little ray of light, right? And once I get rid of all the fear, that's what this process is about, fear removal. Fear removal, right? I'm selfish and self-centered. Did you know past the third chapter 3, more about alcoholism, it doesn't talk about alcohol anymore, except on page 59 where it talks about it in the steps. On page 62, it tells me what my problem is. I'm selfish and self-centered. Clint Hodges used to say, I need to find a new center. So I come here and I drive here and while I'm here with you, and when I'm driving back, I remember you guys all looking at me, and I see all your faces, and I feel all the love, and I feel connected to you. Alcoholics Anonymous is gift. People never used to ask me, we can't wait to see you. We can't wait to hear from you. Are you kidding? We're going to fly you here and listen to you talk. People just wanted me to shut up and get out. And, you know, this doesn't go past me when I'm standing up here remembering. I'm the guy that used to sleep in doorways. I'm the guy that had holes in his teeth and mats in his hair that was never going to be nothing. I'm the potential boy. Remember that? Lee, you have so much potential. If only you would apply yourself. Remember that? Potential. First thing anybody would ever say to me was, what's wrong with you? What's the matter with you? Why do you do that? Well, do you have 20 minutes and a comfortable place to sit? I don't know why. I didn't know that I was an alcoholic. I didn't know that I had this allergy that when I drink, I just get thirstier and thirstier. And that when I don't drink, this bizarre relationship I have with it, that I forget all the trouble it's caused me. You know, on page 24, if you're new and you haven't read this book, in some of the lines in this book, they're in italics. Those are the words that are leaning. They're leaning. They look like they're skiing. That means these are important words, right? And on page 24, there's some italics, and it says, we were unable at certain times to bring forth with sufficient force the memory and the suffering and the humiliation of just a week or a day ago. We are without defense against the first drink. Remember sitting across the table from the one person you had left in your life? Those eyes of disgust looking at you? How could you do this to me again? And if you were like me, like, I didn't want to. I didn't mean to hurt the only person that cares about me. I don't know why. I don't know why. Because I'm bad. I didn't know that I have a physical allergy, that I have this phenomenon of craving. My friend Carl Morris, I don't know if you ever had him up here, he says, I wouldn't trade my daughter for the first drink, but I sure would for the second one. Because once I take a drink, all bets are off, man. So, what a nice feeling it is in here. Isn't it nice? Isn't it nice? You know, it's so nice to be here. Alcohol robbed me of my life, robbed me of now. And Alcoholics Anonymous has given me the ability to be comfortable in my skin and to be here with you. You know, when a normie asked me, so I'm going to turn to you every time I say normie. When a normie asked me, how you doing? And I go, I'm all right. They have no idea the gravity of me saying, I'm all right. It used to cost me thousands of dollars just to feel okay. So here's what happened. Came out to California. I sat behind some drums when I was 10 years old. Came out, right? And I found out I could play the drums. And then I was listening to American Top 40 once, and they put on Cut the Cake by the Average White Band. And Steve Ferroni became my favorite drummer. I'm going to break away from that story to tell you this story for a minute. And Steve Ferroni ended up going there to not only playing with the Average White Band and everybody else in the whole world, and Eric Clapton, and then joined my favorite band, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. right? And joined Heartbreakers on Wildflowers. Now my favorite drummer is in my favorite band. Then, because I'm sober, because I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous, my sober brother, Steve Ferroni, I'm a front man now, I sing. I get to sing in front of my favorite drummer, my favorite Tom Petty song, You Wreck Me, because I'm sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, if you think it's over, whatever you're dreaming of, dream bigger. But do this. Dream big and do this. Did you know that we're named after this book, by the way? Just saying. Quietest kept secret in the room. Big book. It's called The Big Book. I know you're new, you're thinking, I've seen bigger. Isn't that cool? So 10 years old, yeah, so then he becomes my favorite drummer, so blah, 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 blah. We move around a lot. My father was in the Air Force, move around. Now I'm in Texas, you know, and I go to jail. And while I'm in jail, my whole family moves to the Philippines. The people that love him the most threw him away. So I'm running around on the streets, and I got this drum set that, you know, is an alcoholic drum set, and, you know, none of them match. There's no cases. True part of this, I don't know if there's any other liars here. You pretty good at lying, bro? I'm like, are you kidding? I have a black belt in lying. The true part, I used to lie so much, I have fond memories of things that never even happened to me. You know what I mean? I reminisce. I become nostalgic. You know when you're telling somebody a story and you're thinking why you're telling it? Did this happen? Anyway, right? True part of the story is I hear Rod Stewart is looking for Lee's daughter. Google Rod Stewart. You don't know who he is. She does? Of course, she grew up with cool parents. Rod Stewart's looking for a drummer, so I come out to California, put my drums in the Greyhound bus, and I'm going to be Rod Stewart's drummer, right? I'm going to be the next rock star. These are my plans. But when I get to the bus station, there was a pawn shop open next to the bus station. So all my hopes and dreams went right up my nose, right? And there I am, running around on the streets, right? Doing anything I can to get something inside me so I can get out of right here, right now. Where were all those dreams, right? Alcoholism doesn't care about dreams. And so I ended up, you know, living on the streets. Holes in my teeth. Mats in my hair. Wearing everything I own. Waking up in doorways. 5150s. If you're not from California, that's a 3-day involuntary hold. Psychiatric. Even psychiatrists would ask me, what's wrong with you? No one ever told me about Alcoholics Anonymous. So I'm hiding in a phone booth. You guys remember phone booths? We used to have these machines where you could call people. And people would always answer the phone. Now they got their phone in their hand. No one answers the phone because they can see you calling. They go, nah, fuck him. You know what I mean? The only way they knew to who was calling before, they had to answer. All right. Remember, it was that thing on the wall. If you wanted privacy, you stretched the cord out the back door. All right. And I'm hiding in a phone booth in Civic Center Park in San Francisco, hiding in there, pretending I have someone to call. And somebody put a bumper sticker in there and says, you got a drinking problem? Call Alcoholics Anonymous. What? What is that? When you've never heard of Alcoholics Anonymous, it sounds really weird, doesn't it? Think of the name. Alcoholics, it sounds like, you know, when they interview some DEA snitch, you know, and they blur his face and they make his voice sound like this is Alcoholics Anonymous. Anonymous, you know, and okay, I call, collect, no coin. And this woman, all I could do at this point was either fight or cry. That's it. I'm done. 22 years old, I'm done. I'm like this color. That's what color you are when you live outside and you only eat and drink wine. Right? So I go up 32 blocks to my first meeting. I'm thinking, well, they're going to ask me to leave. Any blackout drinkers? You're a blackout drinker? I used to think, you ever walk into a place, you think it's the first time, and the bartender goes, excuse me, you, out! You're like, it appears I've been here before. So I think, when I walk in, they're going to ask me to leave, because that's what people do. Reasonable people ask me to leave. And I walk in, and this big giant guy runs over, and I look like a parking meter. I look like a tweaker chick on speed, like a size nun. You know how they rock? Hey. You ever notice how they rock? You hear the laughter? She rocked. Right. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, here he comes. It's always a big guy. He runs over, and he says, I love you. What? And then he hugs me. I got no defense against that. 9 people want to fight? Let's go. I love you? Huh? I never heard that one before. The only time I ever got touched was when the cops were checking me. When people were hitting me. There ain't no hugging going on for the dudes coming in here. I know what it's like, when you're a dude and a guy says, hey, give me a call sometime. You're thinking, what? Why? I don't call a dude unless he knows a girl I can meet. You have drugs, alcohol, cash, or any one of those. If not, keep your number. You know what I mean? You guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It's weird calling a guy for the... If you're new and you're a dude, don't worry. You don't have to talk. You're calling an alcoholic. All you have to do is say hello. And they'll just... Blah, 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 blah. They'll just go, 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 man. You know when you sponsor... I teach guys, after they've called me for 7 days, I teach them this. Okay, Jimmy, you're doing really good, but this is what I want you to say next time. Is this a good time for you to talk? Because if you don't, he could go on for 40 minutes. There's this girl I know, her name's Diane, and she was from Boston, and her sponsor's name was Martha, and she'd call her Martha. And she was talking about, this is her story, she was 5 years sober, and she called Martha. She said, Martha, I'm 5 years sober. When am I going to get a husband? When am I going to get a car? Everybody's got this and everybody's got... She goes on for 10 minutes. And Martha says, well, look, dear, I'm late for my chemo appointment. But what I want you to do is go to the bathroom, run a bath, leave the phone open, and I want you to cut both of your wrists. Click. She was that self-centered, 5 years sober. She knew her sponsor was being treated for cancer. But you know what I mean? You've seen the people going to the meetings. You guys got regular speaker meetings here, right? Besides this one, right? And you're like, I hope they have a good speaker tonight. I hope the coffee's better. I hope they have good snacks. I hope there's some fucking new people there that I could talk to. What? I hope there's something that I can bring to the meeting. Huh? So you come in here in your first year and you suck it up like an aardvark. But then we work the steps, we trust God, we clean house, we help others, and then we go and we give. The contrary action to selfish self-centeredness. We interrupt this talk with the circle and the triangle. Are you ready? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
There you go. This has nothing to do with church. It's fun. So, you've probably seen a lot of people in here wearing this circle and triangle thing. I got a ring on. I got it tattooed on my thumb. So whenever I'm out somewhere, somebody might see it and go, hey, friend of Bill's, right? And I go, nope, Dr. Bob. You ever see a picture of Bob and Bill together? You ever see how pissed off Dr. Bob looks? You know what he's sitting there thinking? Friend of Bill. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So we have this... We have this circle and this triangle, and this is for the new people or people that might not know. So it's an ancient symbol. We didn't invent it. It means mind, body, and spirit. Therein lies the balance that we seek. It's an old, very ancient symbol. In like 1955, we stole it. Like good alcoholics, we pretend we started it. And we changed it to unity, recovery, and service, right? And so we adopted that as our symbol, I think, then. But in 1993, we had to stop using it. World Service said, listen, we better stop using it officially. It used to be on the second cover of the dust jacket of the second cover, the second edition. But they stopped using it because treatment centers were popping up all over the place and using that symbol, and Alcoholics Anonymous didn't want to be associated perhaps with maybe some of the things that were going on. But we still love that symbol. I still consider it our symbol. You know, you're going to have to cut it off my thumb to take it away from me, right? So, the first side of the triangle is unity. Unity's the body. I bring it to a meeting. I'm good at a lot of stuff. We are clever people. It is not easy to stay drunk and loaded without a job. But most of you in here have been able to do that, right? I can play the drums to any song I listen to for 10 seconds. I can play the guitar. I know the lyrics to 10,000 songs, right? I can build a Harley and put it back together and it'll run. But when it comes to not taking a drink, I suck. And apparently, so do you. Because here you are on a Saturday night. So I come in here and I sit with other people that said that, yeah, I drove around in a car with my kid drunk in there too. Yes, I felt like that. Now, if you're new, you got this beast going in your head. You got this little beast. It's the greater aspect of my disease is the mental obsession. In my lineage, Bill W., Chuck C., Norm Alpe, the late great Donald Madden, Earl H., and me, and a legion of other men. Somewhere along the line, we started calling the mental obsession the beast. The beast! And my beast is like this little 5'2" hooker with a gymnastic butt, right? Oh, she sounds so sexy, man. Super sexy. She sounds how my girlfriend looks. And I'd be sitting there in a meeting, doing my little commitment, paying attention, and all of a sudden the beast, she'd show up. Oh, dang. Let's go get a Corona. And it'd be so loud, I would think, you guys hear that, right? Now, know that she is not 5'2" and looks like has a gymnastic butt. She is 750 pounds of filth with bad breath and is dying for me to find the differences between me and you so I can go back out there and take a drink. And as soon as I do, she's like, come on, bitch, come on. That's what happened. But I'd fall for it every time. I'd be sitting in the meeting. Come on, you're not like these people. You're not an alcoholic. I told Earl one time, I see no reason why I can't work the 12 steps and smoke weed. He'd say, okay, let's see what happens. Let me know how that works out. As he came to visit me at Thalian's Mental Center, as they're taking the catheter out of me once again, right? So unity's the body. I bring it to a meeting. And I sit here with other people who felt like I felt and have been where I've been and have talked about how they no longer, if you want what we have, what is that? What is it? Recovery from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. No longer is the beast dictating my life. I get to have a life. I get to have a life. Moments, that meaningful moments that are connected to each other. Hundreds of people that love me, that care about me. A home group where I go and I have a job there. And if I don't show up, my phone will ring and they'll say, are you okay, Danny? That's what I have, right? So I come here with you and I be here with my people. But this ain't about stopping. We have stopped many times. So how do I stay stopped? How do I go outside of my house without owing an amends to everybody I said hello to today? Right? Second side of the triangle, recoveries of the mind. I work the 12 steps as outlined in this book with the sponsor who has also been there, right? So Franklin W. was one of the first circuit speakers, and he was the one that asked Bill, how do you put together in the shortest words Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's those six words I just told you. Trust God, clean house, help others, right? So I trust something other than, you know, you talk to some people in here and they're like, I have trust issues. You ever sponsor somebody that tells you that? Ah, man, I can't trust God. I have trust issues. Really? Really? So when you were behind the gas station and that guy gave you a little bindle of some kind of powder and you went home and just... You didn't have any trust issues then, did you? You didn't put it in like a little chemistry kit, CSI Miami, right? Making sure. No. But suddenly, when you come in here and these well-dressed people want to just connect hands with you and say something, you go, ah, I don't trust you. You might want my gonorrhea. I don't know. Whatever. Sorry. I don't know. So, unity's body, I bring it to a meeting, recovers of the mind, I work the 12 steps. And the process is starting to happen, right? Not because of the way I'm thinking, because of the things I'm doing. I get a little job, I'm the literature guy for 6 months in a row. Every Tuesday, I've taken their literature and I've set it all up and avoided smacking people for messing up my rack, you know what I mean? And stuff like that, you know? You have to act better than you feel. We have these little sayings in AA. Act better than you feel. You know, at your home group, there's always somebody, they'll say, hey, Travis, whatever you lead the meeting, whatever you do, don't call on Tim. You know, he's nuts. And Travis forgets, calls on Tim, and the whole room goes, ah, shit. You're not supposed to do that. When they call on somebody you don't like, you're not supposed to go, oh. Your body language should not show that you don't like the people. You smile and you're cheerful. What's our first tradition say? Anyone? The guy with his hat on backwards that read the traditions knows it very well. He barely looked at it. But it says our common welfare should come first. We are not a group of people that does well with others. But this is what that tradition is saying is, look, man, you have burned every bridge you have. This is the last place. You need to be nice to these people. This is all you have. I used to be such a jackass in AA. I was, man. I am so ashamed of how I carried myself. And people would say, Danny, when are you going to get out of your own way? And I had no idea what that meant. So, unity's body, I bring it to me, recovers of the mind. So I work the 12 steps, and during this process, something's happening. I'm walking around giving money back and not treating people the way I used to treat people, doing my job, showing up for work, being kind when I don't feel like it, turning the other cheek. I called Earl and said, dude, I've run out of cheeks. You know what I mean? I told Earl in 1993, I used to mix martial art. I'm a boxer. I used to put hands on people instantly. And in 1993, I said to Earl, Earl said, we don't put hands on other people. And I have not broken that promise. I have never, ever been physical with anybody. And trust me, there have been some opportunities, right? I wear this hat that reminds me, it says, don't be a dick. Because it's so easy for me to go there. When I'm scared, when I'm off the path, my fear comes out in that kind of pushing you away thing, you know? So, here I am at the corner of recovery and service. Here I am. I've done this stuff and something's happened. It tells me in the steps. It doesn't say maybe something happened. It says having had a spiritual awakening as the result of doing these other 11 things as best as you can. What is that, a spiritual awakening? Does that mean I can float? I can turn this into wine? No. It means I've had a change in perception. I don't view the world the same way I did. It's amazing how different something can look. Oh, he didn't mean that. Guy cut me off. I don't have to follow him home for 40 miles and pull him out of his car and light him up. I can just, man, the art of being able to let go. If you know anything, like, it is the samurai who sheathed his sword. He is the strong one. And the ability to just let go, just to let go and just go, you know what? All right. All right. Feel that? You feel what just happened? Smells like Alcoholics Anonymous in here. People are like, excuse me, are you wearing a new scent? Yes, it's called Alcoholics Anonymous. There's only 12 uses in each bottle. Good night. So there I am. So now I get to close the triangle with the most important side of the triangle, service. We talk about contrary actions when you're new here, right? I don't do what I would like to do, and I do what I don't want to do. And the contrary action to my problem, what's my problem? Let's review. Selfish self-centeredness. What is the contrary action to that problem? Service. How can I help? How can I be of service to you? That's what my life is about now. I'm an abstract artist besides being a singer, you know, and I give away a lot of my art because I believe I have been given this ability to paint, which came from my mother and wherever, that just like AA has taught me, I can only keep what I have by giving it away, you know? So a lot of my art I give away, you know? So there you go. Service is the thing around here, man. That's the secret to Alcoholics Anonymous, by the way. That's the secret. If you're looking for the secret, it's being of service to other people, okay? So the story continues. So I once had, let's talk about where I ended up. So I ended up, I was driving a Honda Civic that had no windshield. I was a catch. Had a guitar and a red-nosed pit bull named Brooklyn. And I would sit on the stoop and drink 10 king-size Coronas, eat as many Klonopin as I can find, trying to get to zero. And a friend of mine who I was living with, she would go to a meeting 4 or 5 nights a week, and she'd pull around, she'd say, I'm going to a meeting tonight, Danny, would you like to go? And I'd say, tell him I said hi. If you're listening on this recording, I just gave up the middle finger. Because I didn't know how to process my feelings. I didn't know how to work a step. I didn't know how to say, listen, I can't get in the car with you and go, for I harbor resentment to Alcoholics Anonymous. No. Fuck, right? When you run out of intelligent things to say, it's F you, right? Right? I used to say that about, you know, you ever meet your sponsor at a meeting? My sponsor is like sitting with the Pope, you know? I used to get so pissed off at people. I'd go sit at a meeting with them in the morning, and 10 minutes before the meeting was my time with my sponsor, and everybody wanted to come up and talk to him. And every time they'd walk away, I'd go, fuck that guy, right? I would. That's what I would say. Fuck that guy. And Earl would just ignore it. And finally, one time, Earl turned around and he said, Danny, do you know the scars that that guy carries? And I go, no, but fuck that guy. And then now I get it. I hear things later. Later. Do you understand the scars that the person is carrying who's standing in front of you? I have no idea. But I know if you're sitting in here, you know what it feels like to be lonely. You know what it feels like to feel like everything I do never works out. You're the best blah, blah, blah we have here when you're sober. Sky's the limit. No dream's too big. If you got this, if you're sober, it can all happen. This is how I got my maybe. My friend pulled around that night and she goes, if you don't get in the car with me and go to a meeting, you have to sleep in your car. It was raining with no windshield. So I get in the car. She takes me to, anybody ever been to Rodeo in the 90s? Anybody? You remember this meeting? Six, 700 people, rock stars, celebrities, Jimmy Choo, Dolce & Gabbana, and I'm Pigpen with 2 handful of loser balloons. Why would you bring me here? I'm sitting all the way in the back, and this guy named Earl, she was best friends with Earl. Earl was giving a talk. And for the first time ever in AA, I hear, maybe. What? Maybe. Maybe you don't have to die. Maybe you can be your kid's dad. Maybe it'll matter that you were alive. Maybe you can get sober. Maybe you can help someone. Maybe. It's a million miles away from never. So I asked them to sponsor me, and for 15 years, that man never gave up on me. Right? They put me in the county jail for being drunk. Guess who would wait for 7 hours to see me for 2 minutes? Earl. When they're taking the catheter out of me at a hospital, who was there? Earl. Never gave up on me, man. Never. I said, how come you never gave up on me, Earl? He said, because you're me. I don't give up on people. If you're coming in and out, don't give up on yourself. I came here tonight to tell you, you can do this. If I can do this, 17 years without a drink, nothing because of what I did, because of my sponsor, because of people like you in rooms like this that stood me up and taught me how to have integrity, value, to be kind, to be loving, to be gentle. I'm stuck in this body. I might as well have fun. And on February 18th, 2008, I said, Earl, I'm done. For 15 years, that guy didn't let go of me. He never said, you're fired. You ever hear about people firing people? I had no idea money was being changed. He never let go of me. I never fire a guy. I have 100% success rate with every man I've ever sponsored. I have stayed sober through all of them, right? Whenever I need to get outside of myself, I got a problem, pick up the phone and just keep dialing until I get a guy that goes, oh, dude, let me hear it, bro. It's better than cable TV, man. It's very entertaining. So I got my maybe working for me, right? I got this maybe thing, and I'm coming in and out, and I'm sitting in meetings, and Beast is talking to me. Oh, dang. You know, and finally I'm sitting in me, I'm 6 months sober, and this is how my maybe turns into hell yeah. Do you guys remember the first time you ever felt like, you know what? I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous, man. I'm not just coming to meetings. I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Do you remember that? Do you remember? I don't know if you remember what you heard or what you did. But here's where I was. I was at a meeting. You know, we have these meetings where you can't raise your hand. You got to be called on. It wasn't enough that my check's getting garnished and I'm driving a truck that's also dying from alcoholism too. Now I got to be good enough to be called on. Real rich people's neighborhood. You know, when you're new and you're just trying to not blow your brains out and you got to listen to rich people's problems. You know what I'm talking about? Some people say, I've never been to a bad AA meeting. I have. Listening to people. And I'm so mad at my housekeeper. You have a house? What? You just want to tell them, shut up! And you can't. You got to act better than you feel. And I had become the guy that should not be called on at that meeting. Don't call on the angry guy that Earl sponsored. Sitting on my hands, 6 months sober, trying to ignore the Beast. Every time I hear, oh, Danny, I turned to Earl. Beast is talking to me. Earl would say, tell her to fuck up. Right? And that was it. If you're having bad ideas and you want the Beast to stop talking to you, tell somebody. Don't keep it a secret. I thought it wasn't nothing. It was just, yes, it is something. Tell somebody. I've been having some very bad ideas. If you don't tell somebody, you're going to get loaded. But I got some good statistics for you. You ready? Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Hallelujah.
I think we're now ahead 4-1 with the amens. So, I'm sitting in this meeting. It's a very uncomfortable meeting. 10-minute lead, and then you can't raise your hand. You got to be called on. And they start calling on people. And this leader decided already that as soon as she was done, she was going to call on Danny. Thank you for letting me share. You. And the whole room goes, no. Don't fucking do that. And I'm sitting next to Earl. And she goes, you. And I said to Earl, I go, can I say whatever I want? Earl goes, go ahead. They called on me. There was this woman, you know, they'd say, if you were called on last week, please pass. They called on this woman, Nancy, every week. Nothing exciting ever happened to Nancy. You knew, here's 6 minutes of my life, I'm never getting back. Macrame stitches, you just wanted to choke her. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, man, I would fantasize suffocating her on the way home from the meeting. Here, easy does it. So Earl says, go ahead. So I go, okay, I'll share. I said, first of all, Nancy, never share again. No one gives a shit. Get involved in a car accident or a bank robbery or something. And then I went around the room. You suck. You suck. You're a liar. F you. You're all F all of you. F all of you. No one was laughing, man. You could tell that I was about to boing, you know? And I said, you know what? This guy loves me. But you, there wasn't a person in this room that would pee on me if I was on fire. And I stopped. And no one said anything. Except Margie. Two rows behind me, Margie said, "I'll pee on you, Danny." And the whole room started laughing, and normally I would have ran out and said, "Shut up! Shut up!" And I'd run into my truck and cry. But you know what? I was fine. Ha ha ha. I was laughing too. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Oh my God. Ha ha ha. I was laughing too. Holy shit, I'm in AA. The lights went on. I'm like, yes, Nancy. Yes, I'm in AA. You know when you go to a baseball game or football game and they got that big sponge finger? You know what I'm talking about? I felt this big hand on my back. I did. It's the only way I can tell you how I felt. I felt this giant hand on my back, and I just felt like, you're okay. And the obsession to drink was removed to me from me from that moment in 2008. I have never even thought, even in a whisper, of a drink. It's not on the table. They say, you're giving back the power of choice. Well, guess what? I choose to not. I choose to give my life to Alcoholics Anonymous, right? That's what I choose to do. And I remember after the meeting, I ran up to Earl and I said, you know when you go to somebody's house and they got like a Labrador and they go, Lee, whatever you do, don't touch the ball, dude. If you touch that ball, he's going to bring you that spitty ball, the whole, he knows how to spell ball. Some dogs can spell ball, right? I turned into this AA Labrador and I ran up to her and I said, I asked them the most important question you can ask your sponsor. What do you want me to do? And he said, go say hi to that guy. There was a guy standing over there, UFC fighter, muscles on his face, tattoos all over him. All he was missing was a sign that says, don't. All through my mind, Earl said, go say hi to him. I thought, are we looking at the same? But somehow, when Margie said she'd pee on me, I turned into Forrest Gump. And I said, okay. And I walked over there. And I did what I didn't want to do. And because I've been doing things like that, my life has changed. And I will close with this little tiny story. May I tell you this little story about my sponsor? Yeah. Do I have your... I know you have a business meeting and you're dying to get to that. Business meeting. Ah. Hey, if you want to see personalities, man, join Area Service. I've seen 2-hour discussions about what kind of cup we should use. Isn't it funny, man? Are we funny? We're wonderful people that belong to the greatest movement that's ever been on the face of the earth, Alcoholics Anonymous. For nothing. Where do courts, my sponsor sat on the board of 2,600 courts when they did that Prop 28, you know, your first two offenses, if they're nonviolent, where do they send you? Alcoholics Anonymous. This is where they send you. All over the world, over 66 languages, 4 languages that can't even be written. Alcoholics Anonymous, man. This is it. This is the solution. The solution is, how can I help? So there I was. I'm about 7-8 months sober. I'm sitting in my room. Got to get ready to go to that stupid meeting with the stupid people that I can't stand. And my phone rings. It's my sponsor. And when your sponsor calls, even if you're doing eye surgery, you put a towel on the head and you answer the phone. So that's your sponsor. I said, hey, man. He goes, meet me at the corner of Ventura and Reseda. Jump off the shrimp boat. Okay. All right. 122 degrees that day in Reseda. Right? No air conditioning in my house. It was uncomfortable. So I drive over there. I park my car. My Ford Ranger had so many dents on it. I'd park it like a block away from everything and then walk up. So I walk up to Earl and he's standing there and he's holding this little white piece of paper. Letter paper folded over like put it in an envelope. And I go, hey man, how you doing? What's up? And he goes, this is for you. I go, what is it? He says, open it and find out. Earl does this one. So I open it. Stack of money. Almost 2 inches thick. I go, dude, I don't want your money. He goes, read it. And it says, this is an anonymous gift. Keep it or pass it on. He said, you know all those people at the Monday night meeting? The ones you said wouldn't pee on you if you're on fire? Well, they found out that you had a levy on your bank account. And after you left, Danny,
they passed the basket again for you. Because they love you.
And they want you to be able to pay your rent and have a car. I started getting emotional with a man in the daylight in a parking lot. And I gave him one of those quick dude hugs. And I ran away. And when I got all the way across the parking lot, farther than where that guy is out there, and as I started to open that door, man, I'm holding back that dam because it's coming. It's coming. And Earl says to me the most important thing. I owe that man everything. I owe that man this. This is what I owe that man. He said to me the most important thing anybody's ever said to me. He said, Danny, you're part of something now. You're part of something. It's all I ever really wanted to be, was connected. And I want to tell you that if you're new, you are part of this. Just give yourself to Alcoholics Anonymous because we love you. Thank you.
Give him another round of applause.